I know that we are taught from at a very early age, right? Don't talk to strangers. Stranger danger. That's when we use with our kids. And obviously, there is some wisdom to that. I mean, strangers mess up your world's order, right? Now, if it's a big city area, I mean, it's kind of like putting the 65th crayon in the 64th crayon box. You can kind of fit it in there and it kind of live with it. It doesn't affect too much. But think about trying to squeeze the 9th crayon into that 8th crayon box. So smaller community, smaller thing. It's much more serious on those sort of levels that, you know, you're trying to really stick that in there. And it's harder to fit that. It messes up that whole order. And so clearly, what wisdom in that whole don't talk to strangers bit. And yet, you know, there's a common theme in a lot of literature about the stranger who comes in, and it does upset it. But I'm thinking of things like Odysseus in the Odyssey, when he comes home. He's disguised. Everyone thinks he's a stranger, and they don't really know it's until he finally rescues his wife. You know, reunites with his wife. He's kind of figuring out. He's come home from the Trojan War, and he's a very different guy after gone through all that. But he's disguised, and he's a stranger, and he's distrusted. And until finally, he grabs his own bow that only he could have used, and uses it and shows it a sign of who he is. I mean, that's one of those symbols. And actually, in the Western motif, in the Western films, right? That's a huge theme, the High Plains Drifter coming in. And my favorite is Clint Eastwood's Pale Rider. It predates most of you, and I'm sorry. I think it came out in 1985, but it's absolutely sort of a perfect example of this stranger who comes into town and completely upsets you. I mean, in the Odyssey, as you've read through it, you know Odysseus ends up, you know who he is because you're the reader, right? But in that movie, in Pale Rider, you don't know what's going on. And the opening scene is fantastic. There's a young girl who's sitting there practicing her reading, and she's reading out of the Bible. And her mother's standing there listening to her, and she's reading out of the book of Revelation. And then the fourth seal was opened, then came forth the pale horse with the rider whose name was Death, and hell followed with him. And then the mother at that time is looking out the window, and in comes Clint Eastwood riding on a pale horse. And you go, what is this, right? He comes into this small mining community, and there's a struggle going on. The owner of one mine is, and he is completely ravaging the earth. He's not really mining. The miners are like, he's not mining. He's using these hoses and blasting away sides of the hill under pressurized water. I mean, and it's just environmental devastation. He's just stripping things away. And the rest, you have all these tin panners. They're out in the streams, and they're sort of swirling, you know, scooping stuff up and swirling around. I mean, for them, that's gold mining. That's you know, and so there's this whole upset. Clearly, things aren't right, and in comes this guy. Well, we find out his name isn't Death. Exactly. They call him the Preacher. He's a preacher. And just, he does begin to completely upset the whole order of what's going on. He comes in, and, you know, the owner of the mine wants something much. You know, he just wants to get all the gold he possibly can get and just get it. And the other, he wants... The preacher wants a life for the people. He wants them treated with dignity and respect. And well, that leads to the conflict. And I couldn't help, as I read the gospel lesson from today, the gospel of Mark just sort of started. We started here in the fourth verse of Mark. And we got three verses before that that we didn't get, although we did hear them back in Advent. The beginning of the good news of Jesus, Son of God. And so we're told sort of the beginning who this Jesus is, but we get a quote from the prophets, and then, boom, here's John, and now Jesus makes his appearance. And he's not he's not the folks from Jerusalem and the Judean countryside. That's what they're all coming from Jerusalem and Judea, coming down to Jesus. But here's Jesus coming from Nazareth of Galilee. He's a stranger who comes into the midst, kind of throwing things off. But it has absolutely nothing to do with his geography. Jesus, Son of God, comes in as a stranger into the world where there's a conflict between the orders. The proper order of things as God created them in Genesis 1. And a disordered order brought about by the power of sin. And Jesus steps in here, into this drama as that stranger, the ninth crayon in the eight crayon box, to disrupt things and set things aside. Because that's actually usually the best thing. If folks feel constrained and trapped in a role, in an order, that you just have to basically completely break it apart and let it find its new system. Well, Jesus comes in to break things apart and open them up and let God's work be done, creating a new order. In Pale Rider, the owner of the mine wants this stranger gone. And so he has two of his lackeys head on out to get him. And he come back with a message, and they're like, "Hey, he's a preacher. What harm can he do?" And the guy, the mine owner, is incensed. He's a preacher. Dang it! I almost had those tin panners out of here because I'd squashed them. I made him give up hope. But this preachers can bring faith. Oh, it's a great scene. It's really just a phenomenal movie. He knows there's a danger there. Jesus comes into the midst, and we need to see this because we know he's Son of God. And so one of the questions might be, why is he getting baptized? Right? John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. What does Jesus take on this baptism of repentance for? He comes into it to stand in solidarity with a fallen humanity. Something that he doesn't need to do. And in it, we should see our own baptism. In his act, he stands in our place so that when we're in that place, we may trust that he's been there. This is the great thing about sort of thinking about baptism, right? We lean into it. It is the source of our identity, not because there's anything inside of us, but something has come from outside to us. There is, we talk about, an alien righteousness that comes in our midst. It's not our own righteousness. We can't trust our own stuff. We're too far oppressed by the power of sin. Christ comes in and stands in our midst. He is the stranger that disrupts the order, that unbreaks and unbinds the power of sin that has laid hold of us. It is why I try to explain to folks that our baptism is the most important event that happens to us. And for most of us, it's hard because we don't remember it. I wasn't even a month old when I was baptized. I did recently, though, force my mother to dig out my baptismal certificate. It gave me great sort of a twisted pleasure in one, making my mom, you know, go and do something. But two, that I felt great about it. Because I was like, yeah, no, really, it's real. Look, there are people here who said it. There's a pastor's signature. There's other people who are there. The baptism of Jesus is indeed a revelation of who he is. Not, he didn't go in and become the Son of God. He was the Son of God already. God declares a mighty word that this is my Son. But that we may turn now and hear that when we know that we are baptized, we too are adopted into that unique and special relationship as child of God. We become part of that reordering of power in the world. We get to be engaged by the Word, empowered by the Word, not just passive observers anymore, active participants in this reordering that Christ has come to us. We get to battle the power of sin in the world, in our own lives, and in the world around us. We can proclaim this new kingdom, this new order, because of a stranger who came into our midst. Thanks be to God.